This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. We're all about digital signage and have been since 2006. We cover what's interesting now and what will be interesting and important one day soon. And we filter out all the BS. This podcast is a chance to add depth and color to what we do online, and it gives smart people a chance to really talk about their companies and their ideas. You can hear new episodes weekly on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, free of charge. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful, ready-made, auto-delivered, and auto-updated content for screens. Integrated Systems Europe is now just a matter of weeks away, with the doors to the massive Pro AV trade show in Amsterdam set to open on February 6th. The show has broken attendance records in recent years, and it looks very much like the 2018 number will exceed last year's count of 73,000 plus. ISE covers off a lot of different technologies, but of the 1,200 or so exhibitors this year, more than a third of them list digital signage as one of their product or service categories. That vendor count is twice the number of vendors who set up at DSE. I managed to get ISE's Managing Director Mike Blackman to slow down for a half hour to talk about why ISE keeps growing, who attends, and what's new and different for 2018. We spoke by Skype, and unfortunately the connection is a little chunky in spots, but it's still worth a listen if you're going or you want to know more about the show. Mike, thanks for getting in touch with me. We did this last year, and I think it was quite useful for people who maybe were going to ISE for the first time or don't really know what ISE is all about, and so I thought we'd do it again. We're about, I guess, a month out from the show itself, and it, from what I'm hearing, it's going to be even bigger.
Yes, we've actually added a hall to the show, so you'll see another temporary structure in the whole car park at the front, adding about another 150 exhibitors. So some major growth, and you know, we're obviously really, really pleased to see this sort of improvement and advancement of the show. We've added some new areas in there as well. We put a little more focus on mixed or augmented reality, and we're running the XR Summit as a conference during the show. Obviously, repeating the Digital Signage Summit as well.
And Hall 8 is still nothing but digital signage, right?
It's primarily digital signage, and you know, that's grown and grown and grown. I think we are now the biggest presence of digital signage in any show worldwide, with the number of exhibitors and the size of square meterage being there. But not only in Hall 8, you'll find it being represented throughout the show. A lot of the big manufacturers like Samsung, like NEC, LG, etc., are in other halls. They're in Hall 1, Hall 4, Hall 5, all over the show. So you'll see a lot spread out throughout the exhibition.
And why is it growing so rapidly? Of course, it's your great stewardship, but are there other reasons why you think ISE has grown the way it has when you hear and read repeatedly that trade shows are dying?
You know, it's one of those things. I think people always question the value of trade shows. And I can remember even 30 years ago, someone coming to me and saying that virtual trade shows will be the future. You know, I think whatever happens, people want to meet, they want to network, but more importantly, in an industry like ours, it's something you just cannot represent virtually. Customers want to come and see, they want to touch, they want to experience things with their own eyes. So what we've done is put together not just an exhibition, but a networking opportunity. We've tried to provide what the customers want. We listen to everybody. We meet with the exhibitors on a regular basis, or a representation of them. And we ask them, you know, what's new? What should we be doing? Who should we be aiming at? What areas should we identify as important? And result, we try to implement as much of this as possible. But more importantly, we look at the sort of people they want to reach. And we think, as long as we can bring together the buyers and sellers effectively in one place on a regular basis, in a place like ISE, then we will continue to survive.
Mm-hmm. Is the way that trade shows are done changing?
Yes, to some extent. I think people are looking, or the good organizers are looking more to added value, to actually using tools to supplement how the exhibitors and attendees meet each other. With a show as large as ISE, and you know, we're more than almost 1,200 exhibitors, it means that it's pretty impractical to try and get around the whole show. So what we try to do is help our attendees to focus on finding what they want to see or what they need. And we try to provide upfront information about what they can expect to see or how to actually manage their visit to Amsterdam. We're putting in a lot of social media tools, a lot of apps that are on that you can put on your handy, on your cell phone. We try to actually implement as many things as possible that will actually are practical. We're not into just gimmicks or gadgets. Mm-hmm. You know, we really look and say, okay, what? And I try to put myself in the customer's position, not a case of saying, oh, let's try this, let's try that. I try to think, well, what do I need? When I go to another exhibition anywhere else that may not be related, I go to shows about exhibitions, and I always think, what do I need when I'm here? What's going to satisfy and make my attendance here really worthwhile? And I try to look and say that I'm busy, and I think that everybody else who's coming to ISE is busy as well. And so we have to justify why they take the time out, why they can actually put aside 2, 3, 4 days to come to Amsterdam and spend the time looking at the exhibition. So we put that at the forefront and try to actually make it as valuable as possible. Mm-hmm. And we think that's important.
How many people are you anticipating this year? I think last year you had 73,000.
Correct. And we will certainly increase that. You know, we've been looking at registration figures, and you know, the early registrations are always, you know, nothing significant. Most of it happens in January. But what I can tell you is, based on a like-for-like comparison to last year, we're way ahead of where we were last year. So, you know, with all intents and purposes, we're pointing towards another record show in terms of attendance. And I mean, any number I give you now is a guesstimation.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see in excess of a 10% increase.
Right. Logistically, does that start to become a problem when you have that many people? I mean, there's only so many hotel rooms and only so many taxi cabs and on and on, and the subway doesn't yet run right down to the doorway. Like I guess it will later this year if they ever do finish that line.
Well, then now you know what I do the rest of my year. You know, a lot of logistics are things we work with the city, we work with the RAI. We look at the sort of things that can actually help that journey improve. When it comes to hotels, Amsterdam has enough hotel rooms. That's one key factor that we looked at before we even went to Amsterdam. How sustainable is it for us as a show? So we know there are enough rooms, but more so what's happening is that they're actually increasing the number of hotels and the number of beds that it can satisfy the demands. On top of that, you've got other services like Airbnb or, you know, such rental services where people are able to actually get rental apartments. So we're able to match the budgets from people who, you know, maybe want to find a cheap apartment to those who are happy to stay in a five-star hotel. And we want everything in between. When it comes to transportation, yes, we know there's an issue. And although the North-South line, as it's called, won't be ready until later on this year, and it is on schedule now. It will be open and be ready for ISE 2019. That means that attendees to ISE can get from the RAI venue to downtown Amsterdam in 6 minutes, mm-hmm. which will make a big, big difference. We're, you know, obviously we put on the shuttle buses to hotels as well, so not everybody has to take a taxi. And, you know, there are some crunch times. We realize, you know, at 6 o'clock, the lines are long and it takes a little while for that people take a taxi, especially if it rains. But I think you'll see a significant difference on that in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you added the new tent out front, that takes away some of the taxi area, right?
Yeah, please don't call it a tent. I'm told
it's a marquee.
Temporary structure, yeah. it's more than a tent. It's you know, it's a semi-solid building. It will withstand all sorts of weather. And once you're inside, you will not see much of a difference between that and a normal building.
Right.
Yes, it's taken away most of that car park at the front, but we still have the taxi space coming in from the east side of the building, I think it is, yeah. So, you know, we've accommodated for that and thought about it. And there are other shows that run at the RAI that actually, the two other shows which actually have the same issue with us and managed to cope with that as well.
Okay. And do you go outside to get to that other temporary building?
No, it's connected to the priority to the main structure. So you don't have to get wet. You don't need to put on a coat. You know, it's set in such a way that you can get from one place to another without any problems. And in fact, the new entrance will be at that Hall 15, as we call it. So the new entrance will be there, and you'll actually get through there to hall one.
Oh, okay. So let's talk in the context of digital signage space. What if somebody is going again, will they see that's new?
Certainly new companies. I don't have a list of them here at the moment, but you'll see many more companies. Some of the things you'll see because of our focus on augmented and mixed reality, you'll see some digital signage solutions using augmented reality. So there is a lot more, a lot of new technology, a lot of new products.
And the profile of the companies that are coming, I was struck in the 2 years that I've attended ISC by the number of companies that are there from Asia, much more so than I would expect to see, and certainly that I do see at Infocom, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, this has been something for us. We've seen the growth from the Asian market increase substantially, and I think it's because they are producing more and more quality products, and they see ISE as the gateway to Europe for them. So, this has just grown phenomenally over the years, especially in the digital science sector.
Mm-hmm. Does your team do any coaching with companies specifically from Shenzhen and other parts of China, how to more effectively market at these shows? Because I've found you can see some really interesting product from China, and then you walk into the booth and there's like one person who you can speak with.
I think that's, unfortunately, I think you see that when you go to shows in China as well. And I think it is disappointing as an attendee, but we offer training online. We actually offer an exhibitor training session on the day before the show as well. And it's important for us to actually help companies be successful at the exhibition. Reselling old business is much easier than trying to get a new business. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to try and maintain the business that we have.
In terms of the profile of the exhibitors, does it tilt more towards the display and hardware guys than it does the software guys?
I mean, we have a lot of software companies exhibiting in digital signage at ISE. But yes, there is a bit more of a tilt, but we're seeing the growth is actually coming from the software side rather than the hardware. Software solutions is what's growing at ISE for digital signage.
Why do you think that is? Is it because of AR and VR sort of being layered in there?
I think it's probably more companies actually getting together with them or bundling and trying to actually show solutions rather than just products to have the edge over their competitors.
Mm-hmm. I came for the first time a couple of years ago, having been asked numerous times in previous years, are you going to ISE? And I would just say, well, no, that's over in Europe. And I finally went and I said, oh, I get it now. This has to be part of my rotation. And are you seeing more people from other parts of the world coming? Is that why the growth is there? Or is it just more Europeans and more of your traditional market?
Now, surprisingly, yes, we are seeing growth from the rest of the world. We started and tried to present and create a European event. But what's actually happening? We're in a business that's constantly changing. There are, R&D is not just once a year in terms of new product launches. So, if you're in this industry, you want to stay ahead, then you need to go to Infocom. You need to be at ISE. We have our digital signage summits in the middle of the year as well to bridge those gaps as well. And it's because of the changes, because of the trying to keep up to date. And for the same reason, that's why we're seeing North Americans, Asians, who are not exhibiting, who are coming across the show just to see what is new now. And I think that's just the nature of the business and the speed of development.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
Is the profile of those people who are coming from overseas more, as you say, people who are coming to kind of do their research, keep pace with what's going on in terms of new developments? Or are you seeing people who are end users and buyers coming from Middle East and North America, South America?
I think certainly from in the Middle East, we're seeing end user, you know, buyers coming in. What I've seen so far, and I haven't gone deeply enough into the figures yet, but what we've seen so far from initial examination is those people from Asia, or particularly North America, are more channel people. So okay. What's happening, you're finding integrators who've got worldwide business. You know, they have projects that may be North American based, but they may have projects in the Middle East or other areas. So they're coming here to see what's available. On top of that, you know, they're also trying to, as I say, trying to keep ahead. But, you know, business is now global.
Yeah, very much so. One of the things that the Digital Signage Expo people spend a huge amount of time on is trying to attract end users, trying to attract retailers and airports and convention centers and anybody who is a potential large-scale buyer of digital signage product. Does your team do the same thing where you are trying to attract a lot of end users because that's who the exhibitors want to talk to?
Absolutely. You know, again, our push on bringing in end users into the show, and, you know, we're very focused just for corporate end users, is that that's what the exhibitors want to see. It costs us a lot more money than getting the AV channel, but we see the necessity and the value in doing so. We have hosted buyer groups where we work with partners to actually bring in buyers that have been identified in sectors that we may not have got. So, you know, people who are actually doing hotel design, for example, may not actually have ISE on their focus because they're covering all sorts of sectors in there. Mm. But because the digital signage and the wayfinding is such a key part of what they're doing in terms of design, it's necessary for them to see what's available. So we work with partners. Mostly we work with integrators or associations to identify key buyers, and we pay their fare. We bring them to the show. We put them up, put a program together for them, seeing manufacturers, attending seminars, guided tours, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I was going to ask about guided tours. If one has not been to ISE, they can walk into that hall and be instantly bewildered and horribly lost in certain respects.
I always describe it as a rabbit in the headlights. You know? So you come in there, it's lots of shining lights and bright screens, and you don't know what's what. And this is one of the things we do, working again with partners, and for digital signage, we work with Invidis together to actually doing tours and you know, information, so people actually get an idea when they're there. But more so, we do more upfront information. If you go to the ISE website, so iseurope.org, you'll find you can actually go to the exhibitor list and actually search by category. So if you put in digital signage, we'll give you a listing of all the companies who have products, solutions, or accessories to do are relevant for digital signage. I just did a search just now. We have 450 exhibitors who say they have products and solutions for digital signage. Hmm. So these are things upfront you can do before getting there. And then on top of that, the guided tours, the seminars, the free to attend theater sessions. So there's quite a lot to actually give guidance to an end user. So he's not just let around to be jumped on by every single exhibitor. He can inform himself beforehand what's relevant for me.
Yeah, that sounds like that for a newbie, that's going to be really, really important that you do invest the time to figure out, I've got 2 days, I've got 3 days, or I'm there the whole time. What do I want to see? Where is that stuff? Because you can spend a lot of time wandering into halls that will have lots of interesting things, but they have absolutely nothing to do with your field of interest or work.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do in terms of the values. Actually say, you know, it might not necessarily be everything at ISE is relevant for every single visitor. What we're trying to do is make sure that when someone does come, they can focus on what's relevant.
Yeah, I think that would be incredibly important. Do you have tips for first-time visitors, you know, apart from doing your research ahead of time?
Well, the research is very important. The other thing as well is that it will give you, by doing that research beforehand, it also give you an idea of how much time you really need to spend. You know, I say everybody should be at the show all 4 days because, you know, you need it to get around. But if you're limited on time, then, you know, we say focus on what's relevant for you. If there is a lot, and there is a lot for everyone to see, I think it's going to be impossible for someone to go and see all 457 digital signage exhibitors. But if you're a team, then why not split up beforehand? And each person in that group covers a different sector. Get back together later on in the day to actually say what are the highlights, what's worth everyone going to have a look at. And this is a good way to try and cover as much as possible without losing your time, and can really be more practical in trying to manage your visit. Ideally, I'd say come spend the whole show, but realize that most people have to work as well. So, the other thing we also recommend is go and have a look at the theatres. We have in Hall 8, where digital signage is, we have a commercial theatre where they're covering a lot of free-to-attend presentations covering digital signage to give you a bit of an overview of the market. And, go and talk to the exhibitors.
Mm-hmm. How many exhibitors are there in Hall 8? I know you said there are 450-something total.
400 total in the show, 457 of them cover digital signage. In Hall 8, I think we're about 200 exhibitors, 150, 200. I'm not sure the exact number.
Right. And I'm curious, one of the things I've been working on the last few weeks is a big report on DirectView LED or fine pitch LED. Are you seeing a lot of growth in terms of the LED exhibitors?
Yes, particularly some more Chinese companies coming in. But, we've had significant growth across the show.
And are you at a point in terms of the scale of the show where you are seeing product launches the way that, I'm getting all these emails in my inbox about things that are being launched at CES in the next few days? Are you there? Are people saying the first time you're going to see this is at ISE?
Yeah, we've been having that for some time now. And obviously, when we first launched back in 2004, we had one or two product launches. What's happened now is a lot of companies have changed their R&D cycles to actually launch products at the beginning of the year and using ISE as a way to do it. When it comes to display, obviously it's a double whammy because some of these companies are actually launching the consumer version of those products at CES, and then a couple of weeks later they come to us with the commercial versions, or they're showing some of the commercial versions behind the scenes at CES and launching them fully at ISE. So we've seen a lot of that. We tend to see in excess of 400 plus product launches, new product launches every year. So it's substantially more this year.
Okay, so some of the stuff like LG's giant 4K OLED screen and talk about Samsung having micro LED and so on, there's a good chance that'll show up in the booths at in Amsterdam as well.
We know they're doing something. They haven't told us yet what it is. I would expect you would see those being launched, I see.
Is there a major exhibitor who's not been there in the past that you'll walk into the show and go, whoa, they weren't even here before, but look at the size of this booth?
You'll see some new companies in there. I mean, Google has a presence at ISE for the first time.
Ah.
We have people like Cisco and Microsoft, et cetera. So these are companies who are there. I don't think you'll see anyone with a major size booth who's new, because one of our problems with our growth that accommodating huge booths is new booths is very difficult.
Is the Google stuff more about IoT and their home-based products?
I can't tell you that yet, because it's not. I'm trying to be secretive. They were a late entry, and it's something they've been attending ISE and speaking, and being looking around, because we see them in the attendee list for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So obviously, it's come to the stage now where they're actually looking. I believe it's more than IoT, but what else they'll be showing there, I'm not sure about.
Yeah, well, they're kind of into everything, so they'd have lots to talk about and lots of people to meet who'd want to meet with them. Yeah. Going back to some of the logistical stuff, is it still possible to get a hotel room in Amsterdam?
Yes, it is. And again, you go to our website, there is the whole hotel booking. There are a lot of, be very careful, there are a lot of booking companies out there who claim to be our official agents, and you end up paying more. We use the Rye Hotel and Travel Service. There's a link directly on the ISE website, and there you'll find the best rates available. And, they've got a pretty comprehensive list of hotels still available.
Okay.
So you can still get accommodation.
Are you restrictive in any way in terms of who can attend? I know that some shows you they want to allow certain people to attend.
Yeah.
How do you register, and does it cost money, that sort of stuff?
Well, yes, it does cost money unless you're invited by an exhibitor. You know, at the end of the day, we charge money to actually qualify our attendees because as soon as, you know, when we were just a channel event, it was very easy to control. But as soon as we start aiming for the end user, then it's very difficult to say, well, who's relevant, who's not. I know bakers who are using digital signage to actually help sell cakes. So, you know, it's becoming, or car mechanics or cars, car workshops where they're actually using it to monitor the bays and manage the information that's going on. So it's very difficult to exclude people, but we want to make sure the interest is serious. So exhibitors can invite all their customers and potential customers. We use the industry magazines to invite people who are interested. But if you actually decide on the day, I want to go to ISE, and you don't have an entry code, then you have to pay €150. And that's particularly there because we want to make sure your interest is serious. We think it's a relevant or a business expense that's easy enough to write off if you really show the value of the show. And €150 is not a huge amount as a business expense. So it's more, I say, as a deterrent to keep those people who just want to get out of the rain away from the exhibition.
Yeah, I mean, that I think that's a downfall of CES in that I haven't gone for a number of years because it's just such a gong show in terms of the numbers of nerds who are just wandering around looking at all the cool stuff. And, there's a line for everything, and it just doesn't work for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to avoid. You know, we are getting these huge numbers. Accommodating those people is always more difficult. What we see is a lot of people come on day one and two. So if you really want more time to speak with the exhibitors and a more easier attendance to the show, we always recommend it the Thursday and Friday when you'll have an easier journey through the exhibition halls.
Mm-hmm. When do things get serious around your office?
Now.
March?
My team has just come back from the Christmas and New Year break. And it's literally like, the starting gun has been fired and everybody is just busy in the last preparations. We do a lot of preparation throughout the year and try and get as many things done as possible. But we need to review all that on a regular basis to make sure that we are on target, we are on track, we're meeting our milestones. And this is the last milestone to check everything to make sure that, we're on track. In 2 weeks' time, 2 weeks before the show or even 1 week before the show, it's very hard to change a lot of things or adjust many things. You would have missed the boat on them. So this is our last chance to actually make improvements, make adjustments, do the fine-tuning and tweaking.
When do you relocate from Munich to Amsterdam?
The Amsterdam team, they go on site 10 days before the show.
Okay.
We take over tenancy at the hall, and that's when we brand the Amsterdam Rye to ISE. And, first exhibitors start coming in about 8 days before the show. I personally go in on the Friday before the show.
Oh, wow.
And, so I'm there from then and spend the weekend in Amsterdam and preparation. It's, the time before that, it's mostly just the contractors, and they have more relationships with the our Amsterdam operational team. The sales and marketing people come in at the weekend because that's when, the people we talk to actually start turning up as well. And we start preparing, the offices in Munich and Amsterdam, everywhere else, relocate everything. We set up office in the Rye, and that's our home for that whole period.
Okay, so you're a rock star. You just kind of show up and you're just there for the glamour.
I wish so. Unfortunately, I have lots of work to do as well, but I have an extremely competent team behind me who, do most of it. I remember when we started ISE in the first show in 2004, we were a team of three people, and we all of us did everything. As the show's grown and we've grown, we've had to specialize with the various people taking responsibility for different roles, and but it still has to be managed. And I do sometimes wonder what my job is, but as I say, I have people who actually make me look good.
Well, it's a favorite show of mine now. I really enjoy going. I booked my Airbnb place within weeks of the last show and booked my flights months ago. So I'm all excited to go again.
That's great to hear. We look forward to seeing you there, Dave. It's as I say, we're looking forward to another even more exciting show and a lot more exhibitors, a lot more new things. We've launched this year together with the Amsterdam Light Festival and the Rye.
Yes.
We're doing World Masters in Projection Mapping. So that's going to be happening in the Rye Harbour. We actually launched the event officially on the 15th of January. We start the projection mapping on the building. But on the 8th of February and the 9th of February, it will be with live audio, and it will be the highlights of the event. And on the Friday morning, we'll actually present the winners and talk about the whole event.
And there's going to be something, isn't it, canal cruises or something to go see the projection mapping?
Yeah, so if anyone wants to go along on that, again, go to the IC website. You'll find a link there. You can book as a group or you can book as individuals to actually attend that. The event is visible from the shores, from the
Central Station.
But the best way to see it is from a boat in the harbour in front of it.
I may have to do that.
Yeah, this will be a mixture of mapping on the Amsterdam Eye Film Museum and water fountains in front of the museums as well. So quite a mixed presentation there.
Huh. Interesting. It's kind of weird. I've seen modest projection mapping here and there, and certainly seen it at trade shows. But I've actually written a book for Christie about projection mapping, but I've never seen a really, really good high-end projection mapping event. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
I'll be very interested to hear your comments on it.
All right, Mike, greatly appreciate the time. And maybe amidst the 73,000 plus people, I'll see you in Amsterdam.
Well, I look forward to that, Dave. And again, welcome you to Amsterdam then. And I can guarantee you'll have a worthwhile visit. Look forward to seeing you there.
And they have good beer, too.
Yes. Not as good as Munich.
Well, that's true, but not bad. All right. Take care, Mike.
You too. Thank you, Dave.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9, the blog, and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.